Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a company introduction to Eloro Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ELO and on the OTCQX under the symbol ELRRF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Tom Larson. Now, Eloro has been mentioned on the show a couple times, I believe by Eric Wetterling, maybe by another one of our guests. The company is focused on two projects. So one project, the Isca Isca property, that is in Bolivia. The company also holds the La Victoria project, or at least an option on this project, that is in Peru. Now, on the website, the company has presentations focused on both of these projects. So anybody that wants more information can dive into that those reports. But first and foremost, Tom, let's focus on this Isca property. There's news that came out yesterday, drill results actually, that we will get to. But first and foremost, give us a little background on the historic mining and work that has been done at Isca Isca, please.
Yeah, Corey, thanks for having me on. Just would like to, I'll introduce the Isca Isca project. First and foremost, being our sort of flagship, it's turned into becoming our flagship project property. We have an option to acquire a 99% interest in the Isca Isca property. You can classify it. One could classify it as being a polymetallic epithermal porphyry complex, a significant mineral deposit type in the Potosi department in southern Bolivia. We have, you know, there are numerous mines similar. Not when I say numerous. World class, probably six or seven mines close by, with the same type of mineral deposit type. We've commissioned a National Instrument 43-101 technical report on Isca Isca, which was completed after we signed a definitive agreement on the property. That was signed in January of 2020. We were fortunate to have Micon International, a mining engineering group, quickly fly down under Charles Marawi, the senior economic geologist, to go down and do an independent report, a 43-101 report. He was able to get down before the COVID shutdown. And so that was completed, and it's up on CDAR and on our site as of April. This is a royalty-free property, road accessible, about 40 kilometers north of a small town called Tapiza in the Potosi district. We also just quickly have an 82% interest in another property called the La Victoria Gold Silver Project, which is in Peru, located in the north central mineral belt of Peru, some 50 kilometers south of Barrick's Lagunas Norte gold mine and Pan American Silver's La Arena gold mine. Basically, our main project up until last year had been the La Victoria Peru project. We ran into some issues with a community group in the northern area of our property called San Marquito. We were basically not allowed to drill. We had a difficulty with the local president, who's no longer there. We brought in an Australian group to earn 25% interest by spending $5 million. So that is financed. However, we're still working closely with the new president to be allowed to start drilling. While this was taking place last year, I took a look at the success of companies like New Pacific Metals and their success with silver sands and how well they were doing in Bolivia. I always had this sort of idea that Bolivia was a very difficult place to work in the jurisdiction, the Evo Morales and the Socialist MAS party, not really truly knowing that that in fact isn't the case. So we had a very top geologist, Dr. Osvaldo Arque, born and raised in Bolivia. He was president of the Bolivian Geological Society from 2010 to 2018, and he was a very close friend of Dr. Bill Pearson, who is our chief technical advisor. I suggested to Bill that we talk to Osvaldo, who had actually worked on our La Victoria property in Peru, so he knew the company quite well, and thought maybe he might know of a project in Bolivia that we could get in and get our you know, really go after without breaking the bank. And that's how our foray into Bolivia took place. This happened back in the summer of 2019. And it took 6 months of due diligence. He had worked on the Isca project back in 2016. The private owners, the Villegas family, had asked him to come down and take a look at the complexity of the deposit. Oswaldo got to know the property and really, really liked it. So Oswaldo approached the Villegas group, and the rest is sort of history. We were able to do a very good deal. Basically, if we want to take control of the project, 99% interest, it's a $10 million U.S. payment that has to be made. But we have 4.5 years to make that decision. We had to issue 250,000 shares of Aloro when we signed the definitive in January of this year. And we a further 250,000 shares will be issued second anniversary date. To the definitive agreement in the event that we move forward with this project. Well, from what we're seeing and what we're doing and where we sit right now, we'll definitely be moving forward.
All right, Tom, let's talk about the work that the company is undertaking then. We just had some drill results that were released yesterday. The company had planned, I believe it was about 3,000 meters. Take us through the overall goals of this drill program. We should also note, too, this is the first time that a public company is doing some sort of more extensive exploration and drilling on the project.
Yeah, so we followed the 43101 report, its recommendations from Micon. They suggested that we start off with a $1 million U.S. 3,500 meter underground drilling campaign, basically coming off of three drill bay stations in the underground. And when I say the underground, it's an adit probably 20 meters from surface. So, you know, it's all open for potential bulk tonnage, open pit mineable. So we raised money for that program in April, May with a company, a fund manager, Crescat Capital. They're a macro global asset manager. They basically put in 1.5 million Canadian, 30 cents a share, with a full warrant at 50, to then move forward on this program, this drilling program. So yes, you're correct, Corey. This was this is the first time that this project, the Isca, has ever been drilled. We started in mid-September drilling. We brought in Leduc drillers. We were able to bring in a HQ wider diameter drill. So we brought that in with one crew. And so we started off basically fanning holes from the most easterly drill bay. And we basically did scissor holes like two south, two east, one north, and two west. But when we were just to get some sort of idea as to the mineralization, I mean, the wall rock, everything ran from the, you know, the grab samples, the channel samples that we'd taken in our due diligence program back in the summer of last year under Dr. Oswaldo Arque's leadership. So we just wanted to see the mineralization. And what we were finding was every single hole was mineralized. There wasn't any barren material whatsoever. The hole 3 and 4 we deem as the discovery holes, they went east. These basically penetrated into what we call a breccia pipe. And these breccia pipes are highly significant. They basically, you know, a lot of them contain major tonnage. The brecciation can be sort of erratic in value, but multi-methyled in our case. So that was our first sort of brand new information to the, you know, from the previous underground workings. So that got us quite excited, to say the least. And we then added another drill, a surface drill, HQ as well, to do some definition drilling and on that pipe just to get its dimensions. And it turned out that just on the perimeter, it's around 150 by 200. We were able to take a hole down 300 meters, 300 of continuous breccia. And we believe we hit the, what they call an apophysy of what we believe to be a porphyry, could be tin, could be copper type of intrusive, which is might be one of the main feeders to this breccia pipe. And so anyway, we've completed about, I don't know, five or six holes from surface on that structure. So we'll be releasing those results over the next few weeks. Then we continued to drill over to the western part of the underground. We went to drill bay 3, which is the most westerly area. So we went back underground. We are now at hole 14, to say the least, quite encouraged as to what we've been seeing here over the last 48 hours.
All right. So, Tom, I will post a link to that news release that outlines the drill results. We're running a bit long on time here, so I do want to give a little bit more color on what's happening. Well, first and foremost, we get what's going on at Isca Isca. The exploration is going to continue there. La Victoria, what sort of work are you guys going to do? What stage is that project currently at?
La Victoria, we hired a fellow called Andres Ricolde, who's a senior officer for the Peruvian Canada Chamber of Commerce. He's been looking after community relations for us since January. We're very close to signing a land rental agreement with the community of Payasca, where our San Marquito area is located. And we expect to have that in the first quarter of 2021. And we will then resume. We will start up with a 2,000-3,000 meter program that'll be financed by our Australian partners, EHR Resources.
Okay, taking care of some of the other company fundamentals. Shares outstanding about 47.5 million on a fully diluted basis, a little short of 57 million. Can you give us some insights on the percentages that management and any key insiders hold, please?
Yeah, I mean, I might have close to 6 million personally. Overall insiders, though, and directly and indirectly, have around 31% of the company, of the outstanding shares. We also have Crescat Capital that would have close to 5 million shares, which is, you know, 11-12%. A company called Champion Iron, my former company that I started up in 2006, when it was called Champion Minerals. I was the founder of that company. They now have close to 2.5 million shares. There's also a company called Tartizan, who are the original owners of the La Victoria project that we basically earned in and bought out from. We issued them shares. They have 4 million shares. And one other company, Cartier Iron, has 2.3 million shares. Those are the main blocks of stock within the, you know, a very tightly held 47.6 million share outstanding float.
Okay, let's also talk about the management team then. It's the first time that I'm having you on the show. Can you give us just a brief background on yourself?
I was a broker for many years and then ran some, went over in the early 90s, ran some publicly traded mining companies. I always loved the, you know, the chase, the resource business. I mean, my background's economics degree from Queen's University back in the 70s. And I started a company, I ran a company called Northfield Minerals, a company called NFX Gold, and then I became involved. I founded a company called Champion Minerals, which today is close to a $2 billion market cap company. I ran that from 2006 to 2011, but that's an iron ore project. Those are iron ore plays in the Labrador Trough. We were on the Quebec side, close to the former Consolidated Thompson company. But more importantly, I have a very solid, strong technical team. Dr. Bill Pearson, who's our chief technical advisor, he has over 40 years experience. He was VP of Desert Sun, which was the Jacobina deposit. He discovered that, which was bought out by Yamana Gold. Then I have Dr. Osvaldo Arce. He has fantastic knowledge, great reputation in Bolivia, and is the conduit and basically our driving force down at the project. We also were very fortunate to bring in Dr. Quinton Hennig. He understood this right away. I mean, he's been invaluable with his assistance and input, Pearson. So well-rounded team, along with Charles Marawi, Micon International, sort of our third party, who are basically updating, who will be, you know, working on our inferred resource reports and moving forward as a third party. So we are very, very strong when it comes to the technical component of this effort.
Okay, let's also just quickly touch on the cash component of the company. I understand that you have already done most of that 3,000 meters, if not all of that 3,000 meters, but where does the company stand in terms of cash in the bank?
Right now, I mean, we're only about $300,000 or $400,000 left from the, because the drilling, we've moved so quickly. we're expecting to complete 3,500 meters by, you know, mid-December. Well, we're there, basically there now after this hole number 14. So we have our, I have some quick optionality. I have no, you know, I think what we're going to do is just, we want to keep those two drills on site and moving forward. So, you know, we can internally fund through our warrants, which we'll do, or we'll do a very small placement. But I want to keep, you know, we're at 47 million shares, 47.6. I want to try and keep this under 50 till we get much further along.
All right, Tom, I appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Tom back on as we see some more drill results and spend a little bit more time diving into some of those drill results. Tom, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey.